Hey, everybody, this is China. And for all your wrestling news, check out Thrower.net.
It is Friday, April the 22nd, 2016. It is episode 127 of the Gerwick Report podcast, a podcast that tells it like it is, sponsored by Gerwick.net. All your wrestling news, one click away, www.gerwick.net. Have a big show today, and to welcome back my one and only, my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
Hey, what's going on, Steve? How you doing, man?
Doing well, and of course, we're also bringing back for his weekly appearance. He's a former SmackDown and ECW general manager, managed legends, is in the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame, the one and only Teddy Long. How you doing today, sir?
Hey, what's going on, Bland? How you guys doing?
Doing well. Interesting week. We've got a lot of topics to discuss, but I was looking out the window, and today is Earth Day. So what does that mean, Frank? I'm trying to figure this out. Earth Day, put the cat back on the toothpaste, flush the toilet paper. What does that mean exactly?
Well, I don't know. I find it funny, you know, 420 was weed day. So, you know, today is, you know what I'm saying? So today is Earth Day, so I think it's the same damn thing. But
let me cut in on that. Well, you know, Earth does grow out of the Earth, so that could be related. 420 plus Earth Day is the day, so there you go.
There you go. It's another day to smoke.
Another day of smoking.
420 was a big day for what Val Venus and RVD. They were in all their glory, I saw. So Earth Day, I guess, recycle those water bottles. Or definitely, I don't know, use a leaf as a toilet paper. I don't know. But today is Earth Day. We do appreciate you listening to Gerwick.net. Definitely head over to Gerwick.net for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. And Frank, we're also growing. Speaking of growing, we're growing subscribers at our YouTube page. How's everything going up there?
Everything's copacetic. And you can check out youtube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast today. We got tons of interviews up there right now in the interview playlist, so check it out. And also check out our interviews and podcasts over at Gerwick.net in the audio section. You know, we have the Gerwick Report podcast. We got the Pro Wrestling Nation podcast with Sam Medina. We got Breaking Raw with my man Atlee Green. And we also have the Raw Deal podcast with myself and Atlee Green. So check it out today. Definitely appreciate that support.
And, of course, in addition to listening to Gerwick Report podcast at Gerwick.net, you can also check us out. Download our shows through iTunes, stream us through Stitcher, and also on TuneIn Radio. You can stream our shows and follow us along so you make sure you don't miss any episode of the Gerwick Report podcast. But unfortunately, as we did on the previous podcast, we kind of start on a very somber note. Last week, of course, we remembered the passing of Balls Mahoney. This week, unfortunately, we lost the one and only China. We've talked a lot about her in recent weeks, years, Frank, in particular, you know, with the Hall of Fame, that she should be in the Hall of Fame, but something much bigger than that. She lost her life, unfortunately, this week. Wednesday, she was found at her home. It broke on Twitter. I guess her management went up on her Twitter page and announced that she was no longer with us. All reports we're seeing now is that she may have been dead for a couple of days. Friends were trying to contact her. They could not reach her. Finally, somebody went to the home and realized that she was unresponsive and passed away. So we want to start off by saying that you know, we'll definitely miss her. She's very unique, a trailblazer. She's been described in so many different ways. But, you know, Frank, the thing is, there's just never going to be another China. We've seen male wrestlers wrestle women wrestlers. We'll continue to see that in the future, but there was something about Chyna that was different. She would not only looked the part, but she did the part. She was a girl that was had the physique, and that when you put her in the ring with the men, it really told a great story. And unfortunately this week, Frank, it just keeps happening over and over. We've lost another great one.
You know, Steve, it was actually very surprising when I, you know, got the news about Chyna. It was actually on Facebook, and I saw the reports, and I actually thought it was a hoax. I thought somebody was playing a joke and was actually waiting around for a credible source to say if this was true or not. We're actually waiting around to see if WWE.com was going to comment on it, and they didn't. Actually, another gentleman, Ryan Satin, a Pro Wrestling Sheet, actually confirmed it, followed by TMZ, and then everybody else in the wrestling media started picking up on the story. And I'm going to just say this right now. I hope that Joni Lauer has finally found some type of peace in death that she could not find in life. And it sucks that she's no longer with us. I do remember when we were here doing our interview a few weeks ago with Sean Waltman, he did mention that he was trying to get Joni some help, you know, but we never really elaborated or went into detail as to, you know, what he meant by that. But I tell you this right now, Steve, I guarantee you that she will no doubt get into the WWE Hall of Fame now that she's no longer a threat as far as what she's going to say when she comes out on that stage. And if she would say anything negative about the company, anything negative as it relates to Stephanie McMahon or Triple H. So she'll probably get in now, probably get in as, you know, with DX as a faction. That way the limelight really won't be on her. It'll be on the entire group. But nonetheless, it's a very tragic story, Chyna. But Chyna was very unique with her look. Chyna was, you know, actually the first woman I saw in the WWF at the time that was actually hands-on with the males. And, you know, her signature trademark was that, you know, that nut shot that she would do right to the balls. That was her signature. First ever woman to be in the Royal Rumble match. First woman to hold the Intercontinental Championship.
King of the Ring.
King of the Ring. You know, in that. So it was like, that is, that's accomplishments that I don't think anybody else in this business are ever going to be able to do. I know Beth Phoenix was in the Royal Rumble at one time, but Chyna was the one who did it first. And she would definitely be missed. And I'm just, you know, it's really sad that she couldn't get that piece that she wanted with WWE. I know that they were in the process of doing a documentary about her, and we'll see if that actually comes out.
I'm kind of, you know, like on the same page with you guys. You know, she certainly made a name for herself in the WWE, and she was, you know, to be a woman, she did a lot of things like a first time ever. When I first went there in 1998, I had a chance to, you know, meet her there. She was with DX, and but, you know, I was a referee, so I wasn't on that other side, you know, the money side, so I didn't get a lot of, you know, chance to do a lot of associating with her. But she was very nice at all times when I saw her. Had a couple of times, one time to work out with her in the gym, and she did compliment me on my cardio and stuff. So I really enjoyed talking to her, and she was such a nice person. Every time I saw her, she'd always speak, and, you know, that's, I never knew nothing, you know, bad. You know, I don't have anything bad to say about her. I'm just sad that, you know, she got caught up with the demons, you know, and a lot of guys have those demons, and sometimes you can't shake them. You know, I was, in, you know, not, you know, taken away from Chyna, but, you know, I once had those demons myself, but with the help of God, I was able to get away. But just sad that Chyna wasn't able to escape and, you know, get her life back together, so... Like I said, it's like this. When you live by the sword, sometimes you die by the sword. But it's sad, and she certainly will be missed.
You know, Teddy, just here in recent times, we've lost Axel Rotten, Balls Mahoney, Chyna, and they're all about the same age. They all had their individual battles with demons. And I think it's worth people checking out one of the previous podcasts we did when you talked about your demons, that, you know, we're all in different places in life, and it's never too late to get help. And as we've seen over and over now, that a lot of things happen, you know, when you use these substances, these demons are not taken care of. And it's unfortunate that, so you say, I guess sometimes they say it goes in threes as well. You know, now we've lost, you know, these three individuals, and it's just sad. And I just want to remind people that, you know, if you are in these, one of these situations where you know, you're battling drugs or alcohol or whatever the situation may be. It could be gambling is an addiction as well. I mean, if you have these problems, there is help out there and community reach programs out there. There's 800 numbers to call, and just never give up. Never give in to the demons. Keep fighting. And, you know, sometimes, Teddy, you fight the first time and it might, you know, punch you back even harder. But the main thing is if you fall off the horse, to get back on that horse and keep riding.
Well, and with you saying that, you know, there's a picture that I have here in my home. I went to this Japanese restaurant. I used to go there all the time and eat sushi. Well, the guy owned that restaurant, his name was Rusan, and me and him became real good friends, and he painted this picture for me. It's a picture of a giant Buddha, and right on the bottom of it, he says, 7 times you fall, the 8th time you get up. And I always look at that picture sometimes, you know, when I'm going through the struggles, you know, and I always say, hey, I'm going to get up. Don't worry about it. So, you know, for you to mention that, that just brought back memories of me. You know, you just have to be, you know, tired. You have to come within your own self and just say, I'm tired of this. I don't want to do it anymore. So, and a lot of times that's hard for some people to do. You know, a lot of people are weak. And sometimes it can be the association. You know, you can be around people that don't want to see you do right or don't want to see you straighten up because they need a partner in crime. You know, misery loves company. So we just don't really know what really went on or her association or who she associated with or whether it was just all on her own. But, you know, you just have to make up in your own mind. You have to be your own person, and you have to say to yourself, I'm done. I got to stop. And it's real simple. You know, God always says if you make one step, he'll make two. And I found that out to be true.
And, you know, Frank, you had the same thought I did as soon as she passed. And it's unfortunate that we kind of think in wrestling terms, but, you know, we've had this debate for a long time. Is China ever getting the Hall of Fame? We know the politics. China used to date Triple H, and now Stephanie went on to marry Triple H. And unfortunately, that was the thought I had as well. Now that she's dead, now that she's passed, it pretty much guarantees she's going to get in the Hall of Fame at some point. And that's the unfortunate thing. When you get these all Hall of Fame honors and you're not around to take the honors and to get up there in front of everybody and give these speeches, that's a tragedy. And, you know, I guess, Frank, this was the only way she was ever going to get in the Hall of Fame anyway.
I will say this, Steve. You know, we knew that China, you know, eventually she was going to get into the Hall of Fame. I mean, whether they wanted to or not, China is very deserving of being in the WWE Hall of Fame. Like you just said, you know, qualified for the King of the Ring, the Royal Rumble, Intercontinental Champion, Women's Champion. She was being, you know, said that she's a trailblazer and a pioneer and all that stuff. Her, you know, accolades proves that she needs to be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
But wait, Frank, aren't you the one that always tell me they don't have to do nothing?
Well, they don't have to do it, Steve, but, you know, here's like this. It's like this. Same thing with Dave. Same thing like with you know, somebody asked Dave Meltzer. They said, you know, do you think they're going to do anything for China on Monday? Meltzer says they're going to have to because if they don't, it's like...
They don't have to.
Well, they've already changed. They don't have to, but WWE right now, the PR machine that they are, they're going to.
I think they will, but again, yeah. With the Hall of Fame, and again, Triple H makes these comments that, you know, it's not my call, and, you know, at the end of the day, he's right, it's not his call, but certainly, who has more influence the Hall of Fame than Triple H?
Oh, okay, let's cut the bullshit, all right? The guy's full of shit.
Of course.
That's just the bottom line. He's full of shit. But like I'm saying, they'll eventually put China in, but she will go in as part of D-Generation X. That's how you do that. Because if you have to put in China, you're going to have to mention all the shit that went on with China through the years, and they're not going to do that. Because if you do that, you have to go back to when it started, and it all started really with Triple H and Stephanie. And they're not going to do that. So that's what I'm saying. Oh, she'll get in, but she'll get in with DX. That's how you put China in all the time. And that's what they're going to do. Because you're going to have Road Dogg out there. You're going to probably have Billy Gunn, Shawn, Triple H, etc. You're not going to have China there. But the one I'm concerned about that might actually go out there and say some shit might be Shawn Waltman.
I agree. I certainly agree. I certainly agree with you right there. They're going to have to do that. You know, they got to, because at this point in time, the saying that they always say what's best for business, they know that that's best for business.
And let's make it very clear right now. WWE never really erased China from the history books. They never did that. They just don't acknowledge that she was in a relationship with Trips. So people out there saying, well, you know, now they're doing this and now they're doing that. Well, you know what? Yeah, they put videos up on YouTube now of China, but those same videos that are on YouTube are on the network. China is all over the WWE network. So it's not like they erased her from existence. They just don't bring up the fact that she was once engaged to Triple H. So, but at the same time, I will say this. She was right in how she felt, but at the same time, it's all about accountability. And China didn't have accountability for her actions. I've seen the videos the last couple of weeks with China on Facebook and YouTube, and to be honest, she didn't look all too good to me. She didn't look good at all.
Yeah, Frank, I also did see one of the videos, too, that where she was just throwing pills in her mouth and she was saying that she was taking vitamin B or the B12 vitamin or something. You know, well, you don't take a handful of B12. It's just that simple.
You know, and I'm going to say this real quick, too, because I don't know what happened to this photo. There was a picture that China had posted, or somebody posted, the day before she was discovered. And China looked to have been sporting a black eye
in that
photo.
Yeah, I saw that.
And yeah, I saw that
And I can't find that damn picture anywhere. That's just been deleted. So I don't know what the hell that's about. But she had a black eye.
Well, TMZ had that. I saw that on TMZ where she had the black eye, and they mentioned it.
So we don't know what that was in reference to, though.
No, we don't. And the Redondo Beach police are saying that they don't suspect any foul play here. I don't know what the hell happened with Joanie. I don't know. Because, and I'm not going to sit here and speculate, you know, like I'm a detective. Oh, well, she died from an overdose. We don't know what it is until the toxicology reports come back to say this is what the cause of death was. Only thing we know is that she was MIA for a couple of days, and somebody came to the house and checked on her and found her in her bed. Unresponsive. That's all we know right now. But has Sean Waltman actually said anything on social media about the passing of China?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything either.
Yeah, that was the one I was kind of waiting on a response as well. Of course, the first response was going to be from the company, and then you thought, what are Triple H and Stephanie going to say? And then we wait the next day, and all Triple H has to say is someone who wasn't afraid to blaze her own trail and create a path for those who would follow. A pioneer whose star shined bright. R.I.P. China. So that's all Triple H had to say. And, of course, Frank, as all this is going on a late evening Wednesday night, depending on where you are, my time was past midnight, and I'm getting the same messages as you probably are. They're putting up on the Twitter that she died. Is this true? And I'm looking into it as best I can as well. I'm really, really ready to go to bed. I'm passing out. I'm not feeling well. All of a sudden, this China stuff pops up. But then you're thinking, okay, well, maybe, you know, what is Stephanie going to have to say? And then during all of this, I don't know, what's she talking about, Frank? A workout or something? And it's like 45 minutes to an hour after it's been pretty much confirmed that China had passed. Here is Stephanie at 1 in the morning or 12:30 Eastern time talking about some workout that she had done or was going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I asked, one of my partners on Facebook, I said, you know, I wonder what Trips and Stephanie are doing tonight. And he hit me back and says, well, Stephanie just said she's getting done with a midnight workout. And I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of bullshit because I would think that she would come out and say something. And he told me that Stephanie actually started getting a bunch of shit on her Twitter. And that's why she came out and sent out that tweet. Because she was getting so much heat for not acknowledging the fact that China had passed. And everybody knew about it. I mean, we were just sitting around waiting for a confirmation, but we kind of knew after a while when all these different media outlets are picking up the story that, okay, there might be some truth to this. Because I mean, I thought it was a hoax at first. But Stephanie came out and said what she said, and it was a pioneer and all this shit. And then Triple H comes out and kind of says the exact same thing. And I'm like, okay, this is some slap and paste shit that you guys put out there, and that's pretty much what it was.
Well, I pretty much think that they're just going to, you know, say what they have to say, and they're just going to let it go. I don't think they're going to draw it out and make this a long thing. You know what I mean? I'm sure whatever happened between them in the past, her and Triple H and China, I'm sure that they probably just brushed that under the rug, and it's all over with them. I would hope so.
Okay, prediction for what Monday Night Raw this coming Monday. I would definitely think they get the graphic to start the show. Does she get a little tribute video, Liz? Something like Mr. Perfect got back in the day.
Yes, she does. She gets a tribute video package somewhere during the show. They talk about it on air that she passed away. She gets the big tribute video, and they break from that, go to the crowd to get the crowd reaction, probably a lot of, you know, claps and cheering and all that stuff, and probably chatting her name. That's pretty much what you get. I'm kind of curious, though, if Triple H and Stephanie come back to TV on Monday, what type of reaction are they going to get as far as the people in the crowd are going to be, you know, chanting China at them?
That's a good question. I mean, we know the wrestling business. And if they come out and that does happen, you know, they're going to play that off. They're not going to sell it. You know what I mean? So we already know what it's going to be. We may know what they're thinking, but nobody else will. But like I said, they're not going to sell it. It ain't going to affect them one bit.
Yeah, you know, I've heard somebody say, and I don't know, you know, they've done the 10 bell salutes before. Obviously, she's not in good graces with WWE. I mean, does she deserve a 10 bell salute?
She can deserve a 10 bell salute, but here's the thing, man. Like you said earlier, they don't have to do anything.
They don't.
And I think the most that they're going to do is the graphic and the video package. That's pretty much it. I mean, they didn't give Macho Man a 10 bell salute, and he was a WWF champion. So what do you think they're going to do for China?
Yeah, I agree with you too, Frank. I think that that's exactly what they're going to do, the graphic and whatever, and nobody's going to make no speeches about it or nothing, and they're going to move right along with the show.
I'm going to agree with Frank as well. I think they get the graphic, you get a 3-4 minute video, you know, highlights of her career, and that'll be the end of it. And I guess, Frank, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it really is better than nothing. But let me ask you this question, Teddy. You were there in the WWF at the time when all this stuff happened with Triple H and China and Stephanie. I mean, what was the atmosphere backstage when that whole thing went down, if you can elaborate on that?
Well, I can't elaborate much on it because, like I said, when all this stuff was going down, the position that I was in, you know, I was just a refereeing then, you know. I wasn't in, like, a major role. So I never did hang around or see, you know, what really went on. And I really didn't know much about it. I'd hear little things from different people, and that was just about it because, you know, to me, you know, it wasn't none of my business, so I never did, you know, I wasn't even concerned about it. So at that time, like I said, my position that I was in, I just didn't hear a lot.
And I want to get, you know, Frank's opinion, then also Teddy's as well. Frank is, I always say, is the walking encyclopedia. Some of your favorite China matches, moments, of course. The run she had with Eddie Guerrero, I thought, was great as Mamacita. I saw a lot of graphics with Mamacita, the reunion now in heaven, now that, you know, both Eddie Guerrero and China has passed. Of course, they had the push where she went on to wrestle men. Obviously, the DX run. Frank, as we kind of reflect on China, maybe some of your favorite matches, memories, you know, reliving the career of China.
Her run with Eddie Guerrero being his Mamacita. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That was good. That was good shit. And when she became the IC champion, when she, you know, I mean, and, you know, it's funny, Teddy, because that angle, that finish had to do with you because you were the referee in that match. And Jeff Jarrett was about to put you in the figure four and China hit Jarrett with a guitar and you counted the 1, 2, 3 and got her the Intercontinental Championship.
And to tell you a little backstage what trivia about that, you know, Jeff Jarrett didn't want to put her over. And from what I heard, that he wasn't going to put her over because of her being a woman. And I heard that they had to pay him a certain amount of money, and they brought an envelope full of money and gave it to him before he went out and put her over.
And that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is why Jeff Jarrett has not been back in the WWE.
And that's the truth.
Yeah. You know, Teddy, I've heard that figure reported as high as $200,000. I mean, they couldn't have gave him $200,000 that night, do you think? It could have been that much?
Well, all you got to do is write a check.
That's a lot of money, though.
They did the same thing with Warrior, didn't they? SummerSlam 91.
Well, that I don't know about. I don't know what happened there, but I remember him held him up or something. Yeah, I remember that going on, but I don't know what he got paid or whatever they paid him. But I do know that night I was the referee there, and I was kind of right there in Gorilla, and I was kind of watching things that was going back and forth. So I do know that that happened. And Steve, like you say, I did hear that it was $100,000 or $200,000 myself. I did hear that too. I don't know.
That's crazy, though. I mean, $200,000 or maybe more cost you another run with the WWE after WCW was bought. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Was it really worth it? I mean, I'm sure that money's gone now. So in hindsight, was it really worth it? I mean, I get Jerry's point of view at the time. Well, you know, she's a woman. But at the same time, man, it's wrestling. It's the entertainment business. You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly right, man. What about somebody that wants to put you over?
You know, I'm trying to remember that, and as you can correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it where Jarrett's contract expired on Saturday night, and so technically at that pay-per-view on Sunday, he was no longer under contract to WWE? Is that how it
works? That's right. I believe that's the case.
Okay.
So he necessarily didn't have to work that match, you know, but I guess, and I think the story goes, and anybody out there listening right now actually could correct me if I'm wrong. I believe what he got for that match was actually, I think, the remainder of some type of a contract he had or something like that. Or that's what I believe it was.
Yeah, they just paid the rest of his contract off.
Yeah, I think that might have been what it was. So he wanted up front. Because after that, about 2 weeks later, I believe Jarrett actually ended up in WCW. He came out on Nitro and hit Bagwell with a guitar. So he came right from WWF right to WCW after that.
Which is, as I recall, I think he had already committed to WCW at that time. He was not going to return to WWE or would have been WWF. And I think it was just an oversight on Jim Ross. I think Jim Ross was a talent guy at that time. And, you know, he let his contract expire the night before the pay-per-view. Didn't put a little extension on it or whatever. And then you run into a situation where on a pay-per-view, they expect you to lose a title to a woman, and that's what happened. So really, in hindsight, it really was their fault. But as you,
it was their fault, but at the same time, if you're Jeff Jarrett,
what you're
it's
saying.
A bad business move.
Right.
Because you're coming from the WWF and going to the WCW, and this foundation over here at WCW it's stable, but it's not so stable. You know what I'm saying? So you never burn that bridge. And I think he burned that bridge with the WWF. I think that's what happened there. And then when he went to WCW, quite honestly, he was exposed. But that's another day. That's another story of another day, because right now we're talking about China.
And, you know, while we're talking about Jarrett versus China, of course, they gave her the championship, the IC championship that night. I think that point was a pivotal point in her career because, I mean, once you start working against the men, you can't put her back in the women's division. So once you go there, and certainly they're never going to give China the WWF championship, kind of pigeonholed her into now wrestling men. You can't go back to wrestling women. And you know, it was a great moment for her. It's a great moment for women that she won the Intercontinental Championship. But Frank, I think after that, she was in a real tough situation, because what do you do with China once she loses the IC championship? And I'm not sure her singles career ever really recovered after that.
You know, it was weird, man, because you remember she had, you know, Stacy Carter, the Cat, as her sidekick. Remember she was Little China?
Yep.
You know,
right.
Or whatever that was going down. So it was kind of weird. But China, you know, another moment, if we could talk about that for a second here, when she became the women's champion at WrestleMania 17, when she beat, you know, Ivory, that right there to me was her peak at that point, because she wasn't with the company soon after that. I think maybe one of her last matches was that one, and then the next match, I believe, was the pay-per-view in May, I believe it was. It might have been Judgment Day or Backlash Judgment Day, somewhere along those lines. She was no longer with the company after that. So I think she peaked, but I agree with you. Her singles career, to me, after the whole angle ran with the men, you know, now you're going back to wrestling the women, and you're the biggest woman on the roster, you know? So it didn't look right. It was kind of a, you know, hate to say it like this, but it was kind of a demotion for her to go back to wrestling the women, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't think that would have worked anyway.
And, of course, she inspired what, Frank, the WCW ripoff of what, Asia at the time as well.
Yeah, and I was not a fan of Asia. I was not. Asia was with, I believe she was with Ric Flair. And then she later joined up with Shane Douglas, Perry Saturn, Malenko. They were the Revolution, if you remember that stable. I mean, WCW actually had another one. Her name was Midnight. Remember that one? She's with Booker T.
Oh, yeah, the black.
Stevie Ray.
Yeah,
Midnight. Yeah. So she had a lot of imitators, but there's only one China.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I forgot about her. That's right. Gosh.
And I'm not even going to bring up Nicole Bass in the conversation.
Now, there's one that was about six cans short of a six-pack.
And ouch.
Oh, man.
Brother,
ouch.
She was not all there. Great girl, great person, nice person, but she was, brother, she's one of these people that would buy a VCR and put the TV in the layaway.
I guess that's why she was on Howard Stern all those times.
She was real funny. I mean, she was real entertaining. So I think Howard them just did. It was great TV because she was kind of like, she reminded you of the Iron Sheik. She wasn't putting on no airs. It was really her.
Yeah, I mean, she made that Howard Stern money though, Steve.
Yeah, yes, she did.
So, I mean, after all, like I said before, it's a payday. But I'm kind of, you know, surprised though that when she was in WWF, she was around. She, you know, Chyna and Nicole Bass were in the company together. I'm really surprised that they never actually had these two lock up. I know it would have been a clusterfuck of a match, but still.
But they both looked the part.
Exactly, they both looked the part. But I think, but the thing about it is, looking the part is one thing. But Chyna just had something to her. Chyna. I don't know, man. It's just she had that the it factor there. She really did. And especially around 1999, when, like I said, when she was part of the corporation, and her and Triple H were doing their thing, coming out to that My Time theme song. I mean, that was the shit. I mean, I was a huge fan. You actually watch that stuff on the network right now. That was really entertaining stuff.
Is that the song where it says who's sleeping with who around here?
Yeah, go figure, right?
Yeah, about irony.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
Anybody know who's sleeping with who?
Of course, as well, I want to mention, 2010 or 11, she showed up in TNA for a short stint. And then, of course, she did the adult films as well. And that's actually how I got a chance to talk to her in 2011. The interview that I did with her in 2011 is posted at Gerwick.net. And Frank also put it up on our YouTube channel as well. You can check it out there. And it's kind of odd because when she got into the adult films, the adult film company was really reaching out to wrestling media, and I was kind of like, well, what do I do with this here? She was in wrestling, and now she's in adult films, and it was about a media contact, so I said, okay, I'll talk to her, and we can talk about the adult films, but, you know, I got to talk about wrestling. I'm still a wrestling website. I mean, not a porno site. And they're like, yeah, that's cool. She'll talk to you about some wrestling questions as well, so if you want to hear that, that's posted at Gerwick.net. That was my chance to, and I thought too, this might be my one and only chance to talk to Chyna. Let's do it. And she was nice. You know, we had a good conversation, and I think they said she could talk for half an hour, and went a little bit past that, and she was cordial to me. So, and she all these years as well, she followed me on Twitter. So it's just tragic. I hate to see her go. I'd love to have seen. You know, we always go back to the Hall of Fame. We just love to have seen her, at least get her due, go up on the stage and get her plaque or get her ring or whatever it is they're giving away now, and have her 5-10 minutes to talk about her career. And unfortunately, now we're not going to see it. And it's unfortunate. Isn't it really unfortunate, Frank, that you and I have the exact same thought as soon as she's passed, that now we both think in our minds, there's the Hall of Fame. But that's what it goes.
Well,
comes back.
It's just common sense.
Yeah.
You know? They never were going to put her in there as long as she was having erratic behavior. I'll put it like that. They were never going to take the risk of her going out there and saying something in front of all those people. You know, once it's said, there's no taking it back. So they weren't going to risk that, you know. Like I said before, I believe she'll get in. I believe she'll get in now, but she'll get in as part of a faction. She will not get in on her own.
I agree with you, Frank. I certainly agree. She will not get in on her own. It will be DX. The whole crew that will certainly be a part of that.
Check
check out ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwig today. That's the official merchandise store of Gerwig.net. 8 great designs at a record $17.99 plus shipping and handling. You heard me correct. $17.99 plus shipping and handling. We'll get you one of our great shirts. We have the Raw Deal Podcast shirt, the Gerwig.net shirt, and the GRP t-shirt. $17.99. So check it out today. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwig. And for the latest in pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerwek.net. Gerwig.net, your source since 1997 for the latest in pro wrestling news.
Hey, what's up, players? Teddy Long. Hey, for all your pro wrestling news, all you've got to do is go to Gerwig.net. That's right. For all your pro wrestling news, go to Gerwig.net. And they have been number one since 1997. Now, that's a long time, players. That means it's a lot of credibility. Holla.
Check out YouTube.com/Gerwig Report Podcast today. Subscribe to our channel. Like our videos. Leave your comments. We definitely appreciate your support.
Transition away a little bit from China, you know, something we talked about, Frank, as well, was the GoFundMe campaign for Balls Mahoney. And last I looked, it was like almost $14,000 raised. Their goal is $25,000. I saw Mick Foley reportedly gave $1,000. And then it was Chris Jericho, $5,000. So I know some people have questioned if those are legit or what's really going on, but I'm going to take them on face value, and it's just good to see wrestlers that were friends with other wrestlers at a time when there's some need give back a little bit.
You know, it's cool that the wrestlers give back. You know, I'm not the biggest Chris Jericho fan, but I will say that when it comes down to taking care of other wrestlers, he does do that, so it's a good thing that he did that, and so did Mick Foley, and everybody else that's actually donated to Balls Mahoney's GoFundMe account. Now, whether it's legit or not, I mean, who knows? But $14,000 is quite an accomplishment, and hopefully they'll get more.
And I believe they will get more.
Yeah, I mean, as far as $5,000 and $1,000, you know, honestly, my perspective was, if I gave money to something, I wouldn't want the amount to be known. And that's something that, I don't know, that when I hear these figures, like Mick Foley gave $1,000 and Chris Jericho gave $5,000, and then you think, well, obviously Jericho must liked Mahoney more than Mick Foley, and it's like, that's not really the point. The point is, you know, both wrote a check. I don't know, if it were me and I gave money, I wouldn't want it to be known. I think the part of charity is, it's not known, it's anonymous, and I'm not saying that takes away from giving the money. It's just, if it were me, I would want it to be kind of under the rug, you know, not broadcast everywhere that, hey, Chris Jericho gave $5,000 or Mick gave $1,000. I would rather just kind of donate it privately and kind of move on from there.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, you're not going to know they donated the money unless you go out there and look on Mahoney's GoFundMe and you see, you know, Chris Irvine or Mick Foley gave that money. Because I haven't seen anything on social media as relates to their personal Twitter accounts or Facebook accounts that say, hey, we gave money for Balls Mahoney.
Well, I mean, you could have a fake account and post the money as well. I mean, you could do that.
And then I think another thing, too, a lot of guys do little things to help, you know, generate more money. So I think maybe, and I'm not speaking for Jericho or thanking for him, but, you know, he saw what Mick Foley gave $1,000. He said, well, okay, I'll give $5,000. So basically I think maybe Jericho is thinking somebody will outdo him. Maybe the next person will give $7,000 or $8,000. It's maybe a quicker way to get to the goal that they're trying to reach of $25,000.
That's a valid point. I never really thought of it that way, but yeah. I don't know, Teddy. This is something that we were talking about offline. Monday Night Raw, and I don't think any of us really watched the full episode this week. Raw was in London. SmackDown was overseas as well. And you were kind of putting the pieces of the puzzle together as well. Is that these guys really didn't have much of a break, you know, following WrestleMania. They go on this European tour. They have travel dates leading up to the Raw and SmackDown tapings, and then they do those shows. And then afterwards, they're also doing shows as well. I've said, and I think Frank has also said, that you know, from some of our least favorite Raw episodes are the shows in London. And if you put it in the terms that you were just talking about with us, you know, privately, you know, when you work that kind of schedule and then here it is, Monday Night Raw, go out there and have a lot of energy, it's difficult. And I guess maybe that's why some of those shows translate so poorly is, you know, the guys are just tired. It's a very hectic schedule.
Yeah, well, I'll comment on that, too. You know, we were talking about it, you know, privately, but, I'll let the fans know, too. You know, I've been there, done that. I've had that schedule. And so you take it, these guys just left WrestleMania. And in fact, before they went to WrestleMania, before WrestleMania started, they were already in Dallas, Texas for 6 days. There's Fan Fest there, and that's 6 days before WrestleMania even starts. So you do Fan Fest for 6 days. Then you do the Hall of Fame. That's 7 days. Then you do WrestleMania. That's 8 days. Then you go straight that Monday night to Raw. You do Raw. Then if you're not on SmackDown or you don't have to be on SmackDown, then you take off that night from Dallas. Maybe they charter a flight or you fly in L.A. or somewhere and you get a layover, and then you go straight overseas. And then when you get overseas, there's a 15-day run there. That tour is 15 days. So those guys start doing shows right on up until Monday, till the following Monday. That following Monday, they do Raw over there. Which, after Raw, some of the guys will come back home, or the majority of the guys will go on to SmackDown and continue the tour. Then, once the SmackDown tour is over with, those guys will come, they'll stay all the way over there until that Sunday. Everybody will fly back home Sunday and be back home for Monday Night Raw. So it's really, it's a tough schedule, man. Those guys are drained, they're tired, and the other problem is you got a time change. You know what I mean? Those guys are up and wrestling at the time it is overseas when everybody else over here is at home in the bed asleep. So it's, you got to, you know, readjust your body to the change and the time. So it's a lot of stress and a lot of strain on you.
And I think that they announced what for November they're going to go back overseas to Scotland.
They do two tours. They do two runs there. They do them twice a year. They do them in April and in November. And the thing I left out is these guys haven't had a chance to go home. They haven't had a chance to go see their families or go home or do nothing at all. You know, you're trying to find a hotel and a wash and dry. You're trying to wash your clothes. You're trying to live a normal life on the road, just like if you were at home. So that's another thing. You know, you're trying to keep clean clothes. You know, and it's a lot of stress to that. I'm telling you.
Sounds like circus animals, Frank.
Yeah, pretty much. But they get paid, so.
That's what it is. You set the ring up one town, get the money, and set it up in the next town.
Did not see Raw. I'd been under the weather mostly this week. So anything that you saw, Frank, of note on Raw? What's the new direction of some of the storylines?
Well, you know what? They are teasing the possibility of AJ Styles, Doc Gallows, and Carl Anderson being aligned to, you know, form some sort of a faction in WWE. So I think WWE might do the exact opposite and probably have Gallows and Anderson form the Roman Empire with Roman Reigns. That is a possibility. I was thinking that until the development last night in Lowell, Massachusetts, where Samoa Joe defeated Finn Balor to win the NXT Championship. And Finn Balor basically teased that he might be debuting on Raw Monday night. Which, if you guys remember, AJ Styles was a member of Bullet Club with Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. He is now on the main roster with WWE. Finn Balor could be coming up there on the main roster. Finn Balor was the actual leader of Bullet Club. So where they're going with this, I don't know. I'm actually very intrigued, though, to see where they go with it. As far as if it's going to be the Bulletproof faction, if they're going to go with the Roman Empire faction, I have no idea. But I do know this. People, for some particular reason, they just don't like Roman Reigns. And the answers are just off the wall of why they don't like the guy. I mean, some people don't like him because his mic skills suck, he can't wrestle, he's John Cena version 2, whatever the case may be. And you know what? I mean, I said on the last show that we did, I don't know what the hell they can do right now with Roman Reigns. That's going to salvage him. I mean, yeah, Roman Empire, that's a good idea for a faction, but it's really not what the fans want. You know, the fans want to see the Bullet Club. That's what they want to see in WWE. And at this point, I'm intrigued with it. I want to see where they go with it. But I don't believe that WWE is going to give the fans what they want. I think in the end, They're going to give you the Roman Empire. And it's probably going to be with Finn Balor, Roman Reigns, Gallows, and Anderson. I think that's what's going to happen. And it probably is going to happen at Payback. But I'm standing by. I don't believe AJ Styles is going to win the championship.
Well, let me ask you this, Frank. Just to be curious about it, do you think that there's a possibility that they may turn AJ heel?
You know, Teddy, I don't really see right now I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I don't see the purpose right now of turning him. I mean, you've been building the guy up as a babyface. You know, I don't really see the purpose of turning AJ heel. Because if you turn AJ heel and Roman Reigns is, I don't know what the hell you call him at this point. I mean, I guess he's a tweener at this point. He's not a good guy. He's not a bad guy. He's the guy. And I'm sick and tired of him coming out saying that shit. But if he comes out there and goes heel, and you got Roman Reigns who's a tweener, there is no good versus evil.
Yeah.
So.
Well, my point was this. You know, I've seen, you know, like you say, you know, you don't see it. You know, it's not really time. But I've seen Vince do stuff like that. You know, he likes to shock you. And he'll do something, you know, even though he know it's not time and he ain't ready for it, but he'll do something just to shock the people that you think you that wouldn't ordinarily happen. So that's why I brought that up. You know, it's just no telling, you know, what may happen.
But here's the thing. With the reaction that AJ had when Gallows and Anderson attacked Roman Reigns on Monday, it's just, I don't know, if, you know, and people listening right now, I don't know if it's just me, but it's just too obvious. It's like WWE is, they're playing on the relationship that Styles, Gallows, and Anderson had outside of WWE because they know people, you know about it. Maybe the casuals don't, but the smart mark internet fans know about the Bullet Club. They know all this shit. And they keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And I'm like, they're pushing it and they're going to do the exact opposite of what you think they're going to do. Because it's all in your face here. They're not hiding the fact that these guys used to be the Bullet Club outside of WWE. They bring it up on the WWE's YouTube channel. They say Bullet Club by name. So I don't know what the hell is going on with that. But it's going to be the complete opposite of what people think. And that's going to suck because people obviously want this, and WWE is not going to give it to you.
Right.
I got to ask Frank a question as well. I'd like to know when this rookie they have, Samoa Joe is his name. I think that's his name. I heard he won the NXT title. When is this rookie Samoa Joe ever going to make the main roster?
See, that's the thing, Steve. I really don't know because the original plan, if you remember, a lot of the dirt sheets were saying that Samoa Joe was going to come up after WrestleMania. Well, if Finn Balor has now dropped the championship, it's obvious that a call-up is coming for Finn Balor and not for Samoa Joe. I think Samoa Joe is probably going to be, you know, down in NXT for a while as the new champion. It makes no sense for Samoa Joe to become the NXT champion and then he's going to debut on the main roster. And, I mean, that makes no sense to me. You know, and really, if you do it that way, it kind of really depreciates the value of the NXT championship. So, Finn Balor had that. I think Finn Balor was the longest reigning NXT champion in the history of that brand. And he dropped it last night to Samoa Joe. So obviously they got some big plans for Finn Balor. And I believe Finn Balor is going to the main roster. And I believe that Finn Balor is going to be configured somewhere in this storyline with Gallows, Anderson, the Styles, and Roman Reigns. How, I don't know. But I'm very interested to see where they go with it. This time around, I want to be surprised. Because I'm telling you right now, all the shit that they're doing right now on the TV with it in your face, they're doing it for a reason. It's the exact opposite of what you think is happening.
And they do everything for a reason. They don't put nothing on TV just to be putting it on TV.
Yeah, when they signed Samoa Joe, I remember having this debate with Frank. It's just a waste of talent to go to NXT. I mean, the guy was Ring of Honor champion. He dominated TNA, had all those great matches with Kurt Angle, and he can't be on the main roster. Now it's been, what, over a year he's been in NXT? And he still can't get on the main roster?
I believe the plans changed though somewhere. That's what I think happened there. The plans somehow changed. And I don't know when they changed or who made the call, but the plan changed because I believe the plan was to bring up Joe. I mean, Joe lost the match at the last TakeOver special in Dallas against Finn Balor. He lost. So for him to become the champion last night at a non-televised NXT live event, it was a surprise to me.
Well,
I got the message from Atlee. Atlee texted me right after Atlee says, Samoa Joe just won the NXT championship. I'm like, what?
I'm going to say it because we tell it like it is here on this podcast. I maybe it's just interjection for me, but let me put it this way. The guy belongs on the main roster. I should be sitting here and be excited that Samoa Joe, and I'm a huge Samoa Joe fan, I should be excited that Samoa Joe won the NXT championship, but I'm not. Because that prolongs his eventual stay in NXT, and it's just ridiculous the guy is there. I mean, NXT is the AAA for WWE. It's the feeding system, and he is still there. Maybe I'm reading into this way too much, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, and you too, Teddy, as well, but we all know that Samoa Joe was the one that injured Tyson Kidd, and as far as we know, there was no heat for it. It was an accident, muscle buster. He'd done it how many times? Unfortunately, this time, Tyson Kidd is injured, and you know, we've heard reports it could be a very long time, if ever, if Tyson Kidd ever wrestled again. I don't know. Obviously, Tyson Kidd was never a huge star in WWE, but there's got to be something that is holding Samoa Joe back at this point. It's been forever now, it seems like, since he jumped from TNA to WWE, and he's still in the feeder system. And I'm just not excited about him winning the championship. There's got to be something, Frank. I understand plans change. Maybe they originally signed him and said, we'll put him in NXT for 3 or 4 months, bring him up to the main roster. But why this guy is not on the main roster today, April 22nd, 2016, is mind-numbing to me.
Yeah, and what I was going to say there is not like they don't need him. They certainly need new faces on Raw, and this guy could certainly be a big asset to him. So I'm like you, Steve. I have no idea why he's being I don't want to say he's being held back. I don't know why he's not on the main roster.
It's asinine. There's,
you know, I don't know.
For it.
I don't know if there's necessarily any heat there. I don't think that there is. I mean, I haven't heard anything about there being any heat. But I was actually kind of surprised, though, that Baron Corbin got the call up before Samoa Joe. I will say that much. Or Apollo Crews. I think Apollo Crews, is he full-time main roster now? Or is he part-time main roster, part-time NXT?
I don't know. You tell me.
I can answer that. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. But he's up there. Enzo and Cass are up there. Vaughn Villains are up there now. It makes you think. It makes you kind of, you know, wonder really what's going on there. But you know something? At the end of the day, a lot of the best matches are going on in NXT. So, I mean, give us some time. Eventually, Joe will be up there. But I get your point, Steve. You know, Samoa Joe shouldn't be down there. We know this. But, you know, it's politics and wrestling. So, just put it like this. Samoa Joe is the first guy to come from TNA to really hold a WWE title. So, there you go.
Right.
But then again, it's NXT. It's not.
Doesn't matter.
I think it does. A lot of people don't
it's
watch
still
NXT.
A WWE.
I don't watch NXT.
Yeah, well, you're missing out. That's your
but
fault.
It's all one company.
It's all WWE. I mean, people get this, you know, misconception that NXT is not WWE. It's the same shit. It's on a smaller scale.
It's the AAA version of WWE. It's not the main roster. There's no reason that a guy like Samoa Joe, who dominated ROH when was strong in New Japan, dominated TNA, is certainly a Hall of Famer, and today is the developmental champion. I mean, come on.
Okay. Well, okay. Let me tell you like this too. Remember a guy named Bryan Danielson. Remember, he came in, he was on a little piece of shit show called NXT back in the day. Remember that? And then eventually, you know, it's a much different thing today than what it was, you know, then. But at the same time, he wasn't doing shit on the main roster either. He was stuck on that damn NXT show doing games and shit.
That's a great point. I mean, there's another guy that was held back, and when they let him be on TV, he got over. What is holding Samoa Joe back now? What are we waiting for? The guy got to be 40 before he gets a call up or what?
Well, but here's the thing, though. Same thing. Like, okay, Bobby Roode, when Bobby Roode comes in, are you expecting Bobby Roode to go to the main roster? No, he's probably going to start at NXT.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Steve. But at the same time, hey, it doesn't matter. what they did before they got there. It don't matter.
They don't care what you did
before
you got there.
They don't give a shit about what you got there.
Once you get there, you belong to them, and they let you know that.
Is Samoa Joe going to come out there? Is Samoa Joe going to come out there and say, hey, you know, he's a former TNA champion? No. He's a former Ring of Honor. No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
they don't give a shit.
Samoa Joe is 37.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
what point? Is it going to be 40 before they give him a call up?
Shit. Once again, they don't have to do anything. I mean, here's the thing. Do we hear Samoa Joe? Now, he might not. You know, I haven't seen anything. But do we hear Samoa Joe bitching and complaining about where he's at?
That's what I was going to say to you, Frank. Here's the deal. Samoa Joe is smart. He's getting a paycheck.
Yeah,
right.
He's not getting paid.
Yeah, he's not getting paid what a lot of those other talents, you know, are getting paid. Samoa Joe is a big star. Don't get it twisted, because the guy's getting paid major money to be down in NXT. And when he get to the main roster, he'll get over. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but
for whatever reason, that's not the plan right now for Samoa Joe.
He's making money, making good money, but he's going to make more money on WWE than he is in NXT. I mean, the guy only has so many years left. He's 37 now. AJ is almost 40. I mean, who was it we were talking the other day, Frank? Was it Russo that was talking about they bring these guys in when they're, you know, I'm not saying these guys are close to retirement, but again, they've worked a long time in the ring. They've worked a lot of matches. They've got a lot of wear and tear in their body, and they're later in their 30s. So let's utilize them while you can.
And that's exactly what they're doing with AJ Styles. AJ Styles is about to main event a pay-per-view against Roman Reigns for the WWE Championship.
Was AJ Styles in NXT?
Absolutely not.
Well, then why was Samoa Joe in NXT?
Well, shit. The same question could be, why is Austin Aries in NXT?
Okay, why is Austin Aries in NXT?
He's a former TNA World Champion, right?
I'll play your game. Why is Austin Aries in NXT?
I don't know. I'll ask Trips and get back to you. Shit.
I mean, hell yeah.
Hey, it's simple as this. I look at that show all the time, and I have to say to myself, why are they doing this, or what is this all about? So, brother, we will never know what the problem is or why somebody ain't up there. We will never know that.
And I'm not picking on this guy, but, I mean, honestly, would you rather watch Heath Slater or Samoa Joe at this point?
Heath Slater has a purpose, Steve. Heath Slater has a purpose of going out there and jobbing. That's his job. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not knocking it, because this business was built on enhancement talent. So I'm not knocking the social outcast or shit, but let's call a spade a fucking spade. He's out there to job. So yes, I get your point, but hell, you gotta have somebody there for Samoa Joe to beat.
Okay.
He's better to take a muscle bust.
He was just a name I threw out. I mean, the first thing that came, I'm Curtis Axel. I mean, just pick a guy.
It's a damn shame.
Are you telling me all these guys are better than Samoa Joe?
No, but I mean, Curtis Axel, for God's sake, the guy came in fucked. He was Michael McGillicuddy. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't even let him be, you know, have the Hennig last name. He was fucked. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. I mean, I get your point, Steve. But at the same time, partner, you got to understand. They got a plan for Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe's the NXT champion right now. Who's to say that that's going to be a long-term thing? He could lose the championship the next set of tapings.
Well,
you don't know.
Look what happened to Zack Ryder.
Right. He was the Intercontinental champion for less than 24 hours, and they took it away from him.
Right.
So I get your point, Steve. I want to see Joe on the main roster, too. I want to see Joe out there tearing it up on the main roster. I want to see that. But right now, it's just not going to happen. They got the spotlight for some reason on, you know, other guys. And it happens. That's the nature of the business. You know, we can sit around here and do this shit all day and think about, well, why are they doing this? We don't know. I'm not sitting in the office and saying, well, hey, listen, who do you think we should push today? Oh, let's push Samoa Joe to the main roster. Well, no, Frank, we're not going to do it. We're going to put the NXT belt on him. Why? Because I think so, damn it.
Well, I'll tell you one guy who may have screwed himself, and that is Adam Rose. Adam Rose and Connor of the Ascension were suspended by WWE, and Adam Rose you know, basically went on social media, said he didn't really do anything wrong. It was prescribed medication. I think it's very uncharacter here, Frank, for even somebody to respond to a suspension by WWE. But and again, Atlee Green, I think, nailed it. I think he did a clip for the YouTube channel. Very selective testing here.
WWE announced that Adam Rose and Connor of the Ascension have both been suspended for 60 days for a wellness policy violation, with their suspensions being effective immediately. Now, there are two interesting news items that come out of this announcement. Adam Rose and Connor are the first wrestlers on the main roster that WWE has publicly announced for a wellness policy violation in over 4 years, with the last one being Evan Bourne for a second violation in 2012. The second piece of news is that Adam Rose and Connor were suspended for their second strike, which means there was a prior wellness policy violation that was never made public. This gives credence to the idea that WWE indeed picks and chooses who they test and who they publicly announce for test failures.
And why is it that when they test and make formal announcements on websites such as their own, why is it always the lower rung talent? We don't hear about the suspensions, and then suddenly somebody like Adam Rose and Connor, who had just came up, basically get the whammy. And you wonder exactly what's going on here. Maybe I should ask Teddy here. Are they very selective with the testing policy? Have you known them to maybe excuse certain talent that may have violated the wellness policy? And you know, overall, do you think it's a fair system?
Well, as far as I know, I think it's a fair system. All right, I have heard from different guys, I won't call any names, but a lot of guys complain about their tests, saying, you know, they never, you know, they tell them that they failed, but they never give them the results as far as what their levels were. I think you have to, if you're on fail for marijuana, you have to have a certain level to fail a test. But nobody has ever got that level. So, I mean, I never did get them either. I failed some of that marijuana tests, and I never did get my levels either. But I'm like this. If I smoke it, I'm guilty. So if I fail, I fail. And that was on me. So I'm just saying to you, when a guy fails and he gets suspended, then it has to be something that he has in his system that's pretty strong. And I don't think they're using it to make an example out of anybody. I think that they're just letting the guys know that, you know, whatever you got in you that's illegal, you can't have it here. But I did hear that Adam Rose, he now says he had a prescription. His doctors and everything will back him on that. So I hope that is the case. But like I said, I think it's fair as far as I know. But I have heard people complain about it.
What do you think, Frank? You think ultimately Adam Rose has buried himself?
If I were Adam Rose, I would not have came out and said anything about the situation. I would have just took the 60 days and then come back. Because, I mean, who knows if they actually had these guys under a non-disclosure clause that says they can't go out and say anything publicly about anything as far as suspensions or anything like that. As far as it relates to the wellness policy. So I don't know. But I do agree that certain guys get tested, certain guys don't.
After they went to a publicly traded company, too, they kind of said, you know, we're not going to make these big announcements anymore. But, you know, when guys disappear for 60 days or 30 days, I mean, people are going to question what's going on. I just thought it was funny that all of a sudden, you know, we had WrestleMania and now we decided to make these announcements. Cause I was wondering the other day, was, boy, they haven't made any announcements as far as the wellness policy, and now you know, they pick on two of the lower. It just always goes back to the lower guys. And, you know, ever since the Randy Orton thing, and he had, what, two strikes, and then supposedly he had a strike forgiven. I don't exactly know what his scorecard is these days, but, and some people have brought up, what, this is Adam Rose's second offense.
Yes.
So then I guess he's.
And that's Connor's second offense as well.
Okay, so then they're.
Well, these guys have no ground. They got no reason to say nothing. Anytime this is your second offense, then you knew better. You already knew better. So for you to continue and do the same thing that you already failed for, you know, that's kind of stupid.
Yeah, I agree with Frank. I think you just say nothing publicly and hope that you can get it rescinded.
Not if you're guilty. you don't come out and say stuff like that. You know what I mean? Just be a man. Fess up. If you had illegal shit in you, just say it, do it, get the suspension, go on and leave the shit alone. You know, try to come clean every now and then, because they're going to test you. And these guys already know that. And that testing is, you may walk up one day and there they are. Or you may go to a house show and they'll come at 6 o'clock in the afternoon on a house show to get you. So the guys know. So it's just kind of stupid to put yourself in a position like that, especially if they're using you on TV and they got you involved in a storyline. That's kind of dumb.
You know, speaking of another guy that did speak out, and maybe some people would question if maybe this guy is on something or not, but Ryback did an interview during his last tour, and they asked him about his status with WWE, if he was happy, and the current direction of Ryback and his character. And one of the things that he said, and you can speak to this, Teddy, as well, because you did many interviews as a WWE employee, and typically they'll put on a very positive spin for the company and the direction of their storylines and characters, etc. But he actually said that he thought the United States Championship match should have been on the WrestleMania show. And I was just a little surprised, because typically, as I said, when you do an interview as a WWE wrestler employee, usually you say glowing things about the company. You don't usually question booking decisions, but I guess he's not happy right now.
Well, here's what I can say to that. I agree with you when you say he's not happy right now. There are a lot of guys that are not happy. You know, they just basically kind of had enough. But the other thing, too, you never know when these guys are working. You know what I mean? I found out you just never know whether they're shooting, telling the truth, or whether they're working. So basically, when I hear something like that, I kind of just wait and let it play itself out to see whether it's going to be involved in a storyline or whether something else is going to happen with it, because you just don't ever know what's really going on. And, you know, for him to speak about what he thought should have been on WrestleMania, you know, they already talked about that. They already know what that card was going to be. So, I mean, if he had that gripe now, why wouldn't he tell them that before when they were putting the match together for WrestleMania? He should have, you know, voiced his opinion then. To talk about it now, it simply doesn't mean anything.
I actually believe at one point that the United States Championship actually was going to be on the WrestleMania card, and the Battle Royal was going to be on the pre-show, and then they switched them. So I think that might be what happened there. And Ryback is, he could be working us, but he's also been a guy that's been very outspoken in the past.
You're right. I know him, man. You know, he's definitely outspoken. I mean, you know, and like I was saying, you know, sometimes, you know, guys are just, you know, they get to that point where they just had enough.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what his position is, that, you know, here's a guy who came in there. They were giving him a push. He was kind of hot at one point. They turned him heel. Nothing really came of that. And, I mean, quite honestly, when it comes down to it, he should have been the United States champion. And it didn't happen at WrestleMania like it was supposed to.
Yeah, the question is, Teddy, do you think he'll get any heat or friction from The Office? Because I said, and you could probably speak to this as well, I've heard a lot of times when you would do WWE-type interviews, some PR person might even be on the line with you as you're doing an interview. So do you think he'll get any friction for saying that?
Well, the way that we answer that question is we start watching what happens to him on TV. Start seeing what they do with him on TV. That'll let you know whether he has any heat or not.
That's true. I know you're not a big fan of this guy. Disco Inferno made a comment on Twitter, which I actually retweeted because I thought he was spot on. This is what he said. I'm looking at the daily wrestling news, and we are still getting farther away from the recovering casual fans. It's a niche audience for sure. And I guess, Teddy, as someone that covers wrestling news on a daily basis, that's kind of how I feel. And I could speak to maybe something with the Samoa Joe situation as well, is a lot of the things they're doing in wrestling in general, I think just alienates a lot of wrestling fans. And would you agree with his comment here that he's kind of, with what he's reading here, that we're kind of getting further away from the mainstream wrestling fan base out there, and it's becoming more and more a niche audience?
Well, I certainly agree with him, and I think that's exactly what we're doing. You know what I mean? Right now, you know, it's people may not pay attention to this, but it's the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. And what we're doing now, we're basically, this is is set on making movies. That's what it's all about now. I think wrestling now, Vince is taking it to Hollywood. So basically, I agree with Disco. I think we are getting away.
I think we got away from that a long time ago. You know what I mean? And I made the mistake on the podcast a week ago when I said that WrestleMania used to be a show about wrestling. And a lot of people corrected me on that. And they said, you know, it's always been about entertainment. And I thought about that. And I'm like, you know, that's the truth. It really has. When I think about it, all the celebrity, you know, influence on WrestleMania. And I agree with Teddy 100%. They are all about making movies. Vince McMahon said that himself in the Beyond the Mat documentary. He said, we make movies. So they don't really look at it anymore as professional wrestling. They haven't looked at it that way in 20 years.
Right.
So that's just pretty much what it is.
It's entertainment / wrestling.
Exactly. Sports entertainment. I don't even know. I mean, I haven't really even... I mean, they used to call WrestleMania the biggest show in sports entertainment. They don't even call it anymore. They just say the biggest show in entertainment.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much how it is now. You're right. It's all Hollywood. And I think a lot of it, too... Yeah, it's a niche audience. I think a lot of your hardcore fans are probably going to be the ones that are watching NXT or watching the WWE Network and watching all the old school archive footage. But your, you know, casual fans are, you know, yeah, it might be the niche audience. I mean, I don't know. All I know is that they supposedly had over 100,000 people fill AT&T Stadium. So there you go.
Yeah, that's the puzzling thing, Frank, is and Teddy as well, is when I'm thinking. We're kind of at a low point. You know, there's really no other wrestling competition out there, the WWE. The ratings are way down. Sometimes we see house show business is not very strong other than, you know, either a Raw or a live pay-per-view event, WrestleMania, as Frank just mentioned there as well. But and then, you know, WrestleMania comes along and they pack 100,000 fans, and next year it'll be, what, in Orlando, and they'll probably get a very similar audience. So you just wonder, you know, we may bitch and we may complain, and at the end of the day – you know, they're making money, so I don't know,
exactly.
Teddy. Does Vince really care what we think?
No, he does not.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think.
Vince will care when you start messing with Vince's wallet.
This is Atlee Green from the Raw Deal Podcast, and I'm hosting a new show at Gerwick.net called Breaking Raw. Don't have time to watch 3 straight hours of WWE programming. It's all good. We got you covered. Breaking Raw, every Tuesday at Gerwick.net. Gerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for pro wrestling news since 1997.
And I guess the would be one of the main competitors, if you want to call it that, I don't know, a company that's really never been even on the blimp, I think, for WWE is TNA. And I guess the latest update is they have potential investors now and potentially... a loan has been granted to TNA, and I guess what I'm hearing, Frank, is if they default on the loan or they get behind in payments, this company would end up being the majority owners of TNA, which, hey, at this point, it could be no worse than what they're into. It. We've seen what the Carter family has done with the company over the years, Panda Energy. But interesting names involved in this company, people may remember, Ron and Don Harris, the Harris brothers, are part of this company, Frank. I don't know. When I keep hearing the story, it's like, I mean, they're in a warehouse now. I mean, they were evicted from their offices. I mean, it can't get much worse than the boat they're in currently.
I'm understanding that the company is a production company that is headed by Ron and Don Harris. And apparently, they've been giving money to TNA, you know, for tapings, and TNA owes that money. They owe it immediately. And if they don't pay it, then like you just said, I guess, by default, the majority ownership of TNA goes to this company. And I'm kind of like, I'm scratching my head, like, how the hell did TNA negotiate a deal like that? They must have been very, very desperate and very low on funds to have, you know, have that happen.
Well, I think they negotiated a deal like that is because they don't have a clue, not one clue about running a wrestling company. They had it all. They had guys down there when they first started, you know what I mean? They could have been something. They had Bruce Pritchard in there, and, you know, maybe some people don't like Bruce, but I worked with him. I got along with him real well. he was really close to Vince. He was one of the guys there that Vince McMahon would let approve stuff, and Vince don't do that. You know, you have to bring everything to him and get it approved. But I was standing right there one day, me and Bruce, and we talked. Bruce went to Vince and said, Vince, me and Teddy are done. Bruce said, Vince, you want to look at this? And Vince said, no, Bruce, what do you think? You think it's good? You like it? Bruce said, yeah. He said, all right, let's go with it. So Bruce Pritchard knows the wrestling business. Why he didn't do something to turn that place around down there, I really don't know what happened there. You had Hogan down there. You had guys down there that knew the wrestling business. All they had to do was just give this lady the proper knowledge and the right way to go, and I believe that company would have been something. But then you got greed that's standing in the way. So a lot of guys just took the money and kept on going.
I think what you just said right there is exactly, in most cases, what happens when veterans go to TNA. It's just a paycheck. If you look back at Hogan and Bischoff going down there, I believe they may have came in there with some ideas, but the ideas that they came in with had already been done down at WCW. And a lot of their ideas is really what, you know, helped to put that company out of business. You know, they came in the first night. They came in. It was kind of like an NWO reunion there. At the beginning, of the second hour, when Hogan came out there, you had Hall, Nash, Waltman, Bischoff, you had Sting up in the Raptors. It was like you're watching WCW Nitro or something. You know what I mean? So that's what happened there. But at the end of the day, Dixie Carter, if the story is serving correctly, she's negotiating with a different bunch of people, but she wants to retain control of the company, and these people that she's dealing with do not want that. They don't want her being in control of the organization.
They're smart.
And I think at this time, And I think at this time, where they are right now, I think that it's time for Dixie to relinquish the reins and let go.
And then the other thing too, I'm with you 100% about that, man. You know, because I look at some of, you know, I follow them on my Twitter, and I look at some of the tweets that she put out there. She's the biggest mark I ever seen in my life. No wonder, you know, they're not going anywhere. So I think whatever happened to them, it serves them just right.
Yeah, sometimes at the end of the day, you need to just get out of the way, let somebody else take over. It's just ego. And, you know, she used to be in PR. So, hey, you know, I'll step down. I'll be the PR director. Because I can tell you, media relations over the years with TNA has been pretty piss poor. You know, way back in the day, we were really good. They were sending me all kinds of stuff. We had no problems lining up talent for, we were doing the hotline back in the day, no problems, you need anybody, let me know. And then it came a time where, boy, to get anybody through the TNA office is just ridiculous. I mean, we told the story before about Abyss. You know, I reached out to Abyss. I said, let's do the interview. Okay, go through the office. And went to the office, and, oh, he's not available right now. So, okay.
Yeah.
Seems like you guys need as much PR as you can possibly get, you know, and it's just a sad situation. And Dixie's going to have to put her ego aside and say, if I want this company to survive, I'm just going to have to step down and let it go. I want to mention this too, Teddy. I know you saw this at Gerwick.net. We ran a poll. Who is more deserving? And this is something that we had discussion on this podcast previously. Who is more deserving of the induction to the WWE Hall of Fame, Teddy Long or Slick? And our man Teddy Long won with 80% over Slick. And boy, you put him in a headlock there, Teddy.
Well, you know, it's all good. I just had to let the Slickster know he's dealing with a player, and the player going to always come out on top. Holla.
And you know what? I got some strange comments on social media. Like, why would you run a poll like that? And I will say this. They both deserve it, no doubt. I mean, certainly you guys both have the credentials. I just say right now, I would put Teddy ahead of Slick. But, you know, Frank, I'm not gonna lose sleep over it. At the end of the day, I mean, they're both deserving, and hopefully someday both get their honors.
Yeah, but the thing, too, is that my man Teddy Long right here, he answers the phone. Slickster don't answer the phone, you dig?
there's an inside joke there.
I can read between the lines. I got you.
Yeah.
You got to answer your phone if you want to communicate.
Yeah, maybe they can put 2 + 2 together there to figure that one out. But, yeah, that's unfortunate. But, hey, Teddy... definitely deserves it. I think on the longevity in this business and what you've accomplished, and again, taking nothing away from Slick, I would put you in ahead of Slick. And hey, obviously the fans agree, and you were voted into the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame with, I think, 78%. So we're going to keep pushing, Teddy, for that WWE Hall of Fame. We're not going to let it go.
I appreciate that, man. And like I always say, it's an honor, but if it don't happen, I ain't going to worry about it. You guys put me in something that's just as important as the WWE Hall of Fame, the Gerwick Hall of Fame. That's the way I look at it.
Well, we definitely do appreciate that. And as we wrap with you, talk about what you got coming up. I think you got a show tonight, and also put a plug in for your social media.
Well, I'm headed tomorrow night. I'll be in Theodore, Alabama at the Theodore High School down there. Big show. Me and the Boogeyman will be there. They can follow me on the website, teddylong.com.
That's a great name for a city, too.
Theodore, that's me.
Yeah, that's a great name.
That's my namesake. So I'll let everybody thank me for the house. But other than that, that's it. Tomorrow night, Theodore, Alabama, Theodore High School, teddylong.com is the website. Twitter is at teddyplayerlong. And next month, I'm doing some stuff. I'll be back on with you guys before then. But I'll be with Luke and Doc Dallas and stuff. We'll be doing a big show in Barnesville, Georgia. That's coming up on May the 14th. But I got a lot of other stuff coming. But over the time that we be talking, you know, I'll be letting everybody know.
So definitely check Teddy out. Follow him on Twitter. And we'll talk to you next week, playa.
All right, playa. Thank you guys so much. And Frank D., enjoy that married life, playa. I'm 28 years. Holla.
I'm enjoying it, man. Trust me.
All right, man. Well, congratulations once again.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Teddy.
Sitting right here. My before we go, guys, my lovely wife is right here. So if you don't mind, I'm gonna let her say hello to everybody on the podcast. Gotta say hello.
Oh, holler, hell yeah!
Holler,
holler.
See, that's what I'm saying. She don't know the difference between hello and holler. See what I'm saying? I said say hello.
You know what? Yeah. And holler. That's the way we communicate. That's what's up.
All right, guys. Hey, man, thank you guys very much. And I'm going to jump in this car, and I'm going to head on down in Alabama.
All right, man. Be safe.
All right, have a great weekend. You too, Teddy. Take care now.
Check out ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick today. That's the official merchandise store of Gerwick.net. 8 great designs at a record $17.99 plus shipping and handling. You heard me correct. $17.99 plus shipping and handling. We'll get you one of our great shirts. We have the Raw Deal Podcast shirt, the Gerwick.net shirt, and the GRP t-shirt. $17.99. So check it out today. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. And for latest in pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net, your source since 1997 for the latest in pro wrestling news.